Okay, good evening. I would first like to give thanks to the brother here, Brother Paul, for giving me an opportunity to share some of God's word that I think that is relevant for each and every one of us in order to continue to live healthy Christian life. I would like to start my lesson off this evening by giving each and every one of you a Bible quiz. Now, you don't have to answer. I'm not going to pass anything out. But if you know the answer to the question I'm about to ask, you can just give me a simple nod. How many of us remember Samuel? No, it's not my bad speaking today. I'm not trying to say Samuel. I meant to say Samuel. Anybody remember Samuel? What about Suffolk? Agale? Do anybody remember Paltai? What about Gadiel? Gedi? Amuel? Septar? What about Nabai? Or Gul? Do anybody remember any of these names? Over in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 7, the Bible says we should walk by faith and not by sight. But sadly enough, it's human nature for us to walk by sight and not by faith. The 10 men that I mentioned earlier, those were the 10 evil spies that gave a bad report. Now, if I mention these two names, I'm sure you're familiar with them, Joshua and Caleb. These were outstanding leaders for children of Israel. Before I get into my lesson, I would like to say this. God has never promised us that he will keep us from falling. But what he has done, he's given us a way to be able to stand. And it's our duty and responsibility to study, lest we should fall as our predecessors. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 11. I would like you to read this before I get into my lesson, just so you can see the relevance of talking about the 12 spies. There is anything wrote in this book that's wrote in vain. It says in chapter 11, now all these things happen unto them, for example, and they are written for our admonition. That means it's for to warn us upon whom the end of the world is to come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he can stand take heed, lest he fall. There has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. I want to stop right there before I finish that verse. That word common, I meant 1 Corinthians 10, 11. 1 Corinthians 10, 11. I'm sorry, this is what I'm reading for. I'm at the 13th verse. I'm in chapter 10, verse 13. And I read it again. There has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. So what this is telling us, that your problem is no different from mine. Everybody has the same problem. There's no such thing as you don't understand what I'm going through. We all, the word coming, let us know that we all go through the same thing. But if we would, let's finish the verse. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So what this is telling us, that we all have a way to escape sin. Sometimes it may not be the popular way. It may not be the way of our choosing. But God will always make a way for us to escape. We're going to start our lesson in Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. We're going to start in verses 1 and 2. But before I read verses 1 and 2, I give you a brief background of who they're referring to. These are the same people that God put the 10 plagues on Pharaoh. These were the same people that crossed the Red Sea. These were the same people that was in the wilderness and cried for food. The same people that went on Mount Sinai when Moses went up to get the 10 Commandments. These were the people that had made a golden calf and started to worship it. So now they're here in Paran, the borders of Canaan, the little desert land. In Numbers chapter 13, verses 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give you unto the children of Israel. Every tribe of their father shall send a man, every one a ruler among them. Now, before I get too far, I want to point out something. This wasn't really a commandment from God. This was a request from the children of Israel getting fulfilled. This was first mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 20 and 23. This is what they proposed to do. God wouldn't say he was going to give them something and then send them to check behind him. You don't need to check behind God. Because of their disobedience, their constant murder, God had to be tired of these people. So he allowed it. He allowed them to check up on him. But he had already gave them the land. Let's continue in verse number 3. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent the children in the wilderness of Paran. And all these men were heads of the children of Israel. Now, when it said heads of the children of Israel, they just didn't do like the people did in the times of Jesus. They didn't cast lots. They didn't just pick anybody. These men, these leaders, were chosen back in Deuteronomy, the first chapter, verse 15. And the reason these men were chosen, because these men were said to be wise and known men. So they just didn't send anybody. I want to point that out before we get too far into the lesson. These were men that people knew and they respected. So these are the men they chose to send out. The names that I called at the beginning of the lesson. These were the 10, I'd say, evil spies, because they gave an evil report. You had two good spies, Caleb and Joshua. And for time's sake, we're not going to read the name and the tribe that they come from. But we're going to skip down to verse 17, and we can look at the instructions that Moses gave them, because it's going to become very important as the lesson goes on. In verse 17 of Numbers chapter 13, the Bible reads, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up unto the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and the land and what the land is that dwells in, whether it be good or bad, what city they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and the land is, and where the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring first fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grape. And that ends Moses' instruction. That's all the instruction Moses gave us, from verses 17 through 20. And they did exactly as Moses instructed, we know, from verses 21 through 25. They went in and they did exactly what Moses had instructed them to do. And this lasted for a period of 40 days. It lasted for a period of 40 days. And after those 40 days was up, we pick up here in verse number 26 of Numbers 13. Now it's time to give Moses a report of what they had found. And it says, and they went and came unto Moses and Aaron, and all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness, Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruits of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the first fruit of it. Now, from the report, in verse number 27, it seemed that all the spies were on the same page. They brought back the fruit, the land flowed with milk and honey. It was just as God described. So there was no separation. They was all together. But verse number 28 starts with nevertheless. Why is it with mankind there's always a nevertheless? Nevertheless. Now this is where you're finna see the separation then, and this is the separation that plagues us today. The separation with those who trust God and those who not. And by the way, I didn't say at the beginning of the lesson, but this lesson is entitled Trust God. That's what we'll be talking about, trust God. To continue verse number 28, it says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now, they specifically call Anak. That signifying that there'd be a history there. And when they get into this giants, I don't think they were exaggerating. The first mention of giants was recorded in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. The Bible said it was giants in those days. So it wasn't an exaggeration. They were some big men. But we should never let fear stop us from doing God's will. And we're going to see why it's so important that we have courage to do God's will. In verse number 29, it says, and the Amalekites dwelled in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the coast of the sea. Now, we're starting to see a little bit of variation now in their report. Now, verse number 30 of this chapter 13, you can't help but admire Caleb trusting God, his courage that he had. Verse number 30 said, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, Caleb still hadn't caught on. He hadn't caught on to what these evil spies were trying to do. But in verse number 32, they make it more prevalent. It says, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone and searched, it is a land that eateth up its inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. And we saw giants and sons of Anak, which come of giants. And we were in our own eyes as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Now, at this point of this lesson or this story, I'm confused. Am I the only one confused? Because the instruction that I read to you early, starting in verse number 17, Moses sent them to do a test. The question of whether they should enter or not was never part of the test that Moses gave him. You see the similarity? This is what we suffer from today. When we read scriptures like Deuteronomy 18:22, when it said mankind shall lay with mankind like womankind, it's an abomination to God. That's it. God didn't ask us to call all the heads of Birmingham, all the preachers of Birmingham, have a debate open. That's it. You know, nobody asked the children of Israel to decide. God had decided that for them. He gave it to them. When we read scriptures like 1 Timothy 2:11, women keep silent in church. We don't need to have all the heads of Birmingham to come together and see what we think. But it's already been told to us what to do. The same with 1 Corinthians 14:34. The same with Ephesians 5:19. We don't have to be told how to sing. We don't have to discuss how to sing. Just as Moses gave them instruction, God has given us instruction. But they allow fear and emotion into the congregation. And if we here at Fair Park allow fear and emotion to rule what we do, then we are in serious trouble. And it's been said, where the people won't be happy. I'm quite sure some of those people weren't happy. After they seen those giants, they were happy about the fruits. But after they seen the giant, you know, that kind of spoiled their day. That kind of spoiled their day. Let's go on to chapter 14, if I have time, and I'll cover a little bit of that and bring this lesson to a close. It said, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Now, from my understanding, the only thing that they had to do was go search out a land and bring back some fruit. Now, what all the crying and lifting up their voice about? It's because emotion had took over. And once emotion take over, good, sound, biblical principle is thrown out. There's nothing that Moses, Caleb, or Joshua could do. Verse number 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation, saying, God, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God had us die in this wilderness. What a foolish statement. The reason I call it foolish is because when you look at Job's account of Job's life, after Job had suffered all that he suffered, one servant after the other, Job, you just lost all your cattle. Job, you just lost all your sheep. Last servant come to him, Job, all your children are gone. The Bible says in Job 1, the last verse of that chapter, 1:22, He said, in all this, Job never charged God foolishly. Job did not sin and didn't charge God foolishly. What you just witnessed here with the children of Israel, they are charging God foolishly. God brought them out there to die. No, God didn't bring them out there to die. And they hadn't suffered anything. The only thing they had done is went and surveyed some land and brought back some fruit. Like I said, they hadn't suffered anything. Job lost his cattle, all his family, and yet he still did not sin, and he didn't charge God foolishly. And they did after a short period of time. And now you can kind of get the idea of why God is getting fed up with these people. And these were the wise men that I pointed out earlier that were chosen in Deuteronomy 1 and 5. It says here in chapter 3, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wife and children be prey? It was better for us that we should return to Egypt. Then said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Can you believe this? You got a group of people that let emotion took over. They so turned against the truth that they would rather go back to slavery than to trust God and go ahead and serve. And we see this oftentimes today. The 10 spies, they helped. We have people, we've seen people rise through our congregation for years and years to scare people with fear. We have people here to try to scare people with. Nobody will come. Nobody will like it. If y'all do this, you're going to lose attendance. You're going to lose money. Emotion should never run fair par. Good, sound, biblical principles should always run fair par. And to sum it up, in one word, the problem with the children of Israel was simply plain unbelief. And there are those that are in the Lord's church that simply are unbelievers. That was the whole problem. You cannot reason with unbelief. If a man is not willing to trust God, there's nothing you can say. Let's look at verse 5 if we can. It said, then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation and the children of Israel, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were them, searched the land and rent their clothes. Now, Joshua and Caleb rent their clothes. That wasn't a sign of anger. It was a custom. Back then, if you was in deep grief, you would often rend your clothes. As a matter of fact, when the last servant came to Job, in Job chapter 1 and verse 20, it said Job rend his mantle, shaved his head, bowed down, and worshiped God. So he didn't do this to sin. He did it out of deep grief. So after that, in verse number 7, it said, and they spake to the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through and searched it, it is exceedingly good land. Now, Caleb and Joshua, after all this, the people started to get captains. They're going to split the congregation. You've seen people do it in churches all the time. We'll just get our people. We'll go over there. After all of this, Caleb and Joshua, they still trying to reason with these people, but they don't understand. Once you don't have God, there's no reason with that type of person. And the situation will only get worse and worse, as we'll see as we read on. If the Lord delight in us, then we should bring us up to this land and give it to us, the land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us, their defenses is departed from them. And the Lord is with us, fear them not. Like I said earlier, fear is a powerful emotion. Fear is a powerful emotion. The fear of standing alone when we're outside of church, when everybody there saying one thing, you got the president saying one thing, the whole world saying that it's okay for men to marry men and women to marry women. It's understandable to have a little fear in the face of a crowd. But it's never understanding to let fear deter you from your faith in God. It's never understandable. But all the congregation, bade stone them with stone. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. Now, it went from surveying the land to making a decision whether you're going to go in the land or not. Now you want to stone Joshua and Caleb, all because you are unwilling to do God's will. And we've been seeing that time and time again. And when people will turn their back on God, or when people are willing to turn their backs on you because of what God's word says, they're foolishly charging God. They're not doing it to you. You're blaming God for your problem. And you should never do that. Over in verse number 24, to speed it up and bring it to a close, I just want to point out that there are benefits for trusting in God. It says in verse number 24 of chapter 14, it says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land wherein and his seed shall possess it." Now Caleb trusted in God. No matter what all the people, how the people murmured or what they did, they even threatened to stone him. But Caleb realized the one thing that we forget today. One man plus God is always the majority. It's always the majority. You can never be a minority with God on your side. Now I bring it to a close. We'll look at verse number 28. And we'll see the price of not trusting God. It says here, in verse number 28, "Say unto them, as I live, says the Lord, ye have spoken in my ear, and so will I do to you." You get what you ask for. Back in verse number 4, they foolishly charged God. They said it would have been better off if they had died in the wilderness. They wanted to go back. They wanted to make a captain and go back into slavery. And God gave them what they asked for. Verse number 25, God said, "Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that whether you number accordingly to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, they which murmur against me." In conclusion, just as the children of Israel were slaves, so was we. Romans chapter 6, verse number 17, says that we were slaves to sin. And it's because of Christ Jesus, we are made free from that slavery. And we have been set apart to serve him. Unbelief will always see obstacles. Faithful people will always see opportunity. There remains a happy land of Canaan's promise to us for rest? Will we follow the steps of the 10 evil spies? Or will we follow Caleb and Joshua? Caleb and Joshua became faithful leaders through the wilderness. Shall we serve God in spite of danger, persecution, hardship? Should we serve God in spite of the fact that He's the way that is not most popular? Shall we serve God in spite of whoever chooses the opposite direction? If we fully trust God, we will reach the promised land. And we'll be a affluence of good. Not so much for our generation, but generations to come. Caleb and Joshua, they influenced not only during the time of rebellion was good, but it's good for us today. Now, we all concerned about leaving people with something when we're gone. What better inheritance can we leave our kids, our family, than our faith in Jesus Christ? If they inherit that from us, we have left them more than anything we could obtain on earth. Fair part, trust in God. If you're here today, the first thing you need to do in order to become a Christian is to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. If your life hadn't measured up to what Christ would have it to be, you need to repent and continue on with your Christian life. This may not be the only time you will have to repent. There may be others. But this time, tomorrow morning, you know you can wake up with a fresh start. If you've been subject to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing now.